Lamentations. And in your Scofield Bible, page 839, be reading verses 15 through 22, and we'll read the verses responsively. Lamentations chapter 5, verses 15 through 22, and page 839. As is our custom to do, let's all stand, please, for the reading of this passage. And you'll note, please, as we read, the 16th verse, which is the text verse. The joy of our heart is ceased, our dance is turned into mourning. The crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned, for this our heart is faint, for these things our eyes are dim. Because of the mountain of Zion, which is desolate, the foxes walk upon it. Thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever, and forsake us so long time? Turn thou unto us, or unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. But thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us. And let's pray. How gracious, Father, thou art to give us this day and to give us strength and health to be here in this place. What a wonderful place to be. And what a great time this is. We pray for your closeness and your help. Minister to us through the preaching of your word. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to speak this morning from one little line that is found in the text verse a while ago. It says this, the crown is fallen from our head. Isn't that a sad statement? The crown is fallen from our head. I have told you before, one day on an airplane, TWA Airlines flight from Kansas City to Chicago, I met Harry Truman. He was no longer president. He was a senior elder statesman at the time and no longer president. And I could not help but feel for him as I realized that no longer did he have the weight of the world on his shoulders, and no longer did there was a crown on his head. I have some sympathy, and I say this sincerely, for Mr. Carter. A man as young as he is, to suddenly have the crown lifted and the load of an entire world lifted and go back in the peanut business, I feel somewhat sorry for him. In fact, I feel sorry for anybody that goes from anywhere into the peanut business. But I do feel sincere sympathy. I think one of the saddest things I ever saw was the picture of the Carters as they left the White House. The load of the world was lifted from his shoulders. And to me, nothing grieves me anymore on a secular level than to see and realize the condition of President Nixon. I know he did wrong, as wrong as most all others have done who've been in the same position. And I know he should not have done what he did and said what he said. But I like what I think it was Billy Graham, who's written the paper, said he thinks America ought to forgive now. We forgive the fellows who ran from the draft and forsook their country and ran to Canada. And I think that Mr. Nixon has suffered enough now, and I think America ought to forgive. And when it comes to foreign policy, he has a very, very good mind and a brilliant mind. And I think it'd be good if we forgave. But there's always something sad about Dr. Evans, about an old preacher maybe, who no longer carries the load. The crown is fallen or lifted from his head. That's always sad. But 'tis sadder when the crown falls from the head. 'Tis bad enough for it to be lifted, but when it falls, when it wasn't intended to be taken from the head, and because of a stumble or a jostle, the crown falls from the head. And the wise man, lamentation, was written by the prophet who watched the nation after she had crumbled. She's gone now. She's destroyed. The temple is destroyed. The houses are leveled. The city is gone. Captivity is present. And the old prophet looks, the tears streaming down his cheeks, and sees what once was a thriving nation, and sees what once was the queen of all the nations, and now sees that that nation's crown has fallen from her head. And he says, the crown is fallen from our head. I want you please to listen carefully. Father, bless the message now as from this pulpit and from the heart of this preacher and from the Word of God, the message for this morning goes forth. Bless us together, please. Amen. Now, I think we all should sit still. I think there should be no talking. I think everyone should listen to what I believe that God wants you to hear today from this pulpit. There are several verses in the Bible that almost move me to tears. For example, when I read Psalm 142:2, I looked on my right hand, refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. I'm almost always moved in my heart to think about it. I looked on my right hand, and refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. I'm almost moved to tears when I read that passage in the 5th of John, where the man who'd been sick for 38 years said, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool." There was a belief in those days that this certain pool of Bethesda, an angel came down and troubled the waters. And the first person that got inside those waters, after the waters were troubled, was healed. And for 38 years, this man had sat beside those waters, waiting for the angel to come and trouble the waters. And finally, Jesus came and said, "Won't you get in the water and be healed?" And the man said, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool." Then I'm always moved to compassion and tears nearly when I read that passage of Lamentations which says, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by?" The preacher had poured his heart out and folks had not believed him. He had warned about judgment and judgment had come. His heart was broken and he saw the people walking up and down the street and he cried, "Is it nothing to you? Don't you even care about my message? Here you walk by and you wag your heads and you hiss and make fun and laugh and mock. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by?" Now, among those sad verses is this one, which says, "The crown is fallen from our head." Little is so sad as seeing one who once wore a crown having it fall. Israel had been the queen of the nations. Her crown began to slip from her head. The Jeremiah saw it tottering and warned her to repent and get right with God, for it is always sin that causes the crown to slip from one's head. Now, the crown is fallen. I've seen crowns fall from this nation. There was one day when America stood like a king among the nations. No longer is she that way anymore. There was a day when if any outside force thought about attacking America, every red-blooded young man in this country said, "Give me a gun and let me go defend my nation." That time is no longer. Bunch of dirty, draft-dodging, yellow-bellied cowards running from our country trying to choose the wars they fight in. The crown is fallen from our head. I'm sorry, I love America, but the crown is fallen from our head. I'm patriotic, but the old crown that a godly nation used to have, a nation that had blue laws about the Sunday businesses being open, and a nation where there was decency, a nation that just a few years ago had enough character to outlaw any form of alcoholic beverages, stood tall like a king on our throne. But the truth is, tonight we bathe ourselves in alcohol and we guzzle and we drown ourselves in wicked liquor and we smoke ourselves into a frenzy with pot and we've lost our character and lost our decency. And in so doing, the crown has fallen from our head. I've seen denominations that once wore the crown. I saw a denomination which I belong, which I was reared. I saw the crown fall from that denomination's head. I saw the crown begin to totter. I saw the crown begin to waver on top of the head of the denomination that I used to belong to. And I saw that crown fall. And that denomination that once stood tall as a king, as a defender of this book, now has institutions that doubt the inspiration of this scripture. And I've seen it fall. I've watched it fall from many denominations in my 35 years of preaching, over a third of a century of preaching. I watched it fall from many denominations. Denominations where once leather-lung men who believed all this book now doubt much of this book. And men who used to be burdened for souls and sinners now more concerned about social programs and social betterment and have been degraded to a social gospel. I've watched the crowns fall from the heads of denominations. I've watched the crowns in my lifetime fall from churches. This last week, I heard about a church. I'm sure the crown is fallen. I have preached there probably on 12 or 14 occasions in meetings. I have been there many times. And I have seen some of the greatest services of my ministry in that church. Just this last week, I heard about the church. Now the old crown has been tottering, and now it looks like it's fallen. And you mark my word, the church will go down in history in the garbage can of the churches that have denied this word and have left the great truth of the Word of God. I've seen preachers lose their crowns time and time again. I've seen men of God who once stood tall in the pulpit with a crown firmly settled on their brow, and the pulpit as a throne, and the Word of God as a scepter. And I've seen these men of God stand like royalty and proclaim the message of God, and then sad but true, the crown began to totter. And then soon, the story was the crown is fallen from our head. The other day, I saw a young lady who once wore a crown of purity. And no crown is lovelier than the crown of purity. No beauty aid is better than the beauty aid of purity. There's nothing that'll do for a young lady what purity will. And young lady, you take that virginity, and you take that chastity, and you take that purity, and you guard it and protect it as if they were the crown jewels of England. You guard that. And yet this young lady, once, I remember, she had a crown her sparkling aisles were like diamonds placed in a setting of innocent blushes, jeweled with the gems of chastity and integrity, and resting over a virgin smile and born by an obedient spirit. And I recall when that young lady had that crown of purity. Oh, you say it's old-fashioned. I know, but it sure is royal to wear a crown of purity. Oh, you say, that passed away. This is 1981. Yeah, but this book is for 1981, just like it was the 1950s. And this young lady had once worn proudly and with royalty and loveliness the crown of purity. And then she had lost her crown. It had been stolen by the lustful hands after it had been being coveted by lustful eyes. And the sparkling crown that once she wore had fallen in the mire of compromise, and in its place was a guilty conscience. May I say this morning, there's nothing so sad as to see the guilty face of a young lady who's lost her crown of purity. Oh, as I said Sunday night, young ladies, when you walk down the aisle, the loveliest you'll ever be, and a young man stands at the altar, and the preacher says, who gives the bride away? And her father says, her mother, and I do, or I do, according to whether he's henpecked or not. And so he says, her mother and I, or I do. And you reach out. He reaches out and extends his arm, and you put your arm in his. He has every right and every privilege in this world to realize that that arm is one that belongs to a virgin body, one who saved itself for him. And I'm saying, no crown is more royal, no crown is more regal, no crown is lovelier, no crown is more diamond-studded, no crown is no more gem-bedecked than that crown that's worn by purity. If there's anything this old rocking nation needs today, it's a revival of preaching on decency and chastity and purity and honor and integrity. Oh, God, give us old-fashioned young ladies whose bodies aren't for sale, and who do not advertise them by immodest dress. Give us old-fashioned young ladies whose hands are saved for the one that God has chosen, whose body is in layaway, waiting for that one for the final payment on the wedding day, who's purchased her. God, give us, thank God, give us lips that are saved for the one who is to share her throne. And God, give us bodies that will not step down from the throne of chastity. And God, give us young men who will not jostle the crown of purity from Her Highness. And God, give us young queens whose body is a holy of holies waiting for the one high priest chosen by God Himself. And God, give us young ladies who will not exchange an eternal crown for a temporary thrill. I saw this young lady the other day, and her crown was gone, a crown that once she wore proudly. I recall the day when she was 15 years of age. She sat in my office and said, Brother Hiles, I accept your challenge. And I said, what's that? And she said, I accept the challenge of walking down the aisle when I get married, still a virgin and still pure. But wicked hands had obeyed lustful minds, which had been introduced to my lustful hearts, to a beautiful body, and the soft skin of that young lady became a wicked, vile, pagan altar for some young man to come and steal that which was most precious and most beautiful. And he took it, and now her crown is gone, her dreams are shattered,
Oh, let me say it, and I'll say it 10,000 times. 10,000! Wear your crown of purity, and wear it with pride, and wear it with honor, and wear it with thanksgiving. The fellow reaches up and says to you, may I do so and so to you? You look at him and tell him, someday I'm going to be a bride, and someday I'm going to get married, and someday I'm going to take the man of God's choosing for me, and I'm saving this body for him, and you take your hands off of it. I'm saving these lips for him, and you take your lips away from them. I'm saving these arms for him. I'm saving these embraces for him. And as I said last Sunday night, if every young person of this church begins to neck and pet, and if every young lady in this church gets pregnant, if every family in this church keeps watching these dirty, lustful evening primetime television shows, and if I get fired for it, I'm still going to proclaim holiness and purity and chastity and decency and righteousness. Wear your crown. Oh, but you say, Brother Hiles, I'll be different. Yes, I know. A queen is always different. Queens don't come from every household. You say, Brother Hiles, I'm afraid folks will stare at me. Yes, they always stare at the Queen of England when she comes by. But I'm afraid folks ought to be different. Yes, yes. Queens are always different. A princess is always different. A prince is always different. And let me say with all of my soul again today, young men, you wear your short haircut like it was a crown of dignity on your head. And young ladies, you wear your modest linked skirts as if they were robes of royalty wrapped around that which is most sacred. And you wear your chastity and your purity and wear it with pride and throw your shoulders back and throw your head back and say, thank God, I still have my crown fastened on my head, fastened firmly there by the Holy Spirit Himself. The crown is fallen from our heads. I'm talking to many a young lady this morning who would like to have a chance to have that crown once again firmly placed on her head. And there's not a young lady in this room that's dipped her skirts to sin, and not a young lady in this room, but what to stand up and say to others, wait for the one God chose. Wait for the one God chose. Recently I saw a preacher who once wore a prophet's crown. What's sadder than a preacher whose crown has been removed? The pulpit was once his throne. The Bible was once his saber. Righteousness was once his robe. The Holy Spirit was once his scepter. His crown was bedecked with diamonds of dedication, rubies of righteousness, emeralds of evangelism, sapphires of Scripture, pearls of power. He once ruled the souls of men as Satan became his vanquished. Now his crown was fallen from his head. How sad. How sad. He who once filled the pulpit now needs to fill the mourner's bench. He who once proclaimed the message of God now needs to hear the message of God. He who once said, repent or perish, now needs to have that message preached to him. He who once invited folks to come to the mourner's bench now must invite himself to come to the mourner's bench. He who once sought forgiveness for his own now must seek forgiveness for himself. How sad. How sad. I'm thinking now of a great army of people across this country. I say an army, a good number of people. I see them. I see young men who once walked the halls of Hiles Anderson College Dock. I see them as they come to hear me preach. I see young men who used to sit here in the preacher's meeting we have sometimes on a Saturday night. And while a young man's up preaching, preach it! And say, preach, 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 hell, hell, hell. I see young men whose hands would clap when Brother Hiles walked in and would stand and cheer when Dr. Evans or any other man of God walked in chapel. I see young men that had dreams of pulpits and dreams of being prophets of God, but they weren't willing to pay the price. They weren't willing to be different. They weren't willing to sacrifice. They weren't willing to do without. They weren't willing to live in poverty. They weren't willing to drive old cars when others drive new cars. Their wives weren't willing to be alone when other ladies had their husbands at home. And now then, those dreams have fallen like Humpty Dumpty fell from the wall and cannot be put back together again as those young men that once wore a crown of the call of God itself. Now are seeking money in business or salesmanship or other ventures outside the royalty of the will of God that was once their lives. Listen to me. I'm not saying that every young man ought to be a preacher.
But I'm saying if there was a time in your life and you were sane and sensible where you thought God called you to preach, I'll guarantee you one thing, you better carry that through. You better carry it through. How sad it is for a young man to come and wear a crown. And some of you little punks can call them hackers all you want to. You little folks that don't know decent words and are you're full of critical nature and a bitter spirit and the devil's world, call them hackers all you want to. But there is a certain royalty about a young man in a ministerial school who's been called of God to preach the gospel and who's training his life to be a king on a throne. There's something about him that is magnificently royal. And when that thing is fallen from his brow and he joins the ranks of those who cared less about the will of God and his crown is fallen from his head, how sad, how sad. I know a half dozen in this room this morning who are good guys and you know what God meant for you to be. When you're more concerned about a green piece of paper than you are the souls of men. You're more concerned about the little pleasure and security than you are the never-dying souls of men. May I say, young men, who were you going to be? Young men of God, may I say, open the pits of hell and get a vision of folks burning in the torments of hell this morning and rise up and get your crown. Ask the Holy Spirit to put it back on your head and wear it proudly as a young prophet of God. Not long ago, I talked to a young lady who once wore a crown of submission at Howells Anderson College. Eyes that once sparkled at chapel now are dulled by sin. Lips that were once locked in the safety deposit box of virtue were now prostituted for the piddling price of acceptance. A body that once was held in layaway until the final payment of marriage was made has now been auctioned for the highest bidders. And you could see in that young lady's face the crown was gone. Those eyes that used to sparkle when Brother Hiles came to the college and for the night time, and we had a little time together, and we sang Old MacDonald Had a Hamburger, E-I-E-I-O. On that hamburger he had some onions, E-I-E-I-O. With an onion, onion here, and an onion under there, and there, here, onion there, onion everywhere, onion, onion. Old MacDonald Had a Hamburger, E-I-E-I. And they used to sing it and gather around for the bedtime story the preacher told and go in and enjoy the pizza and pop the preacher sometimes provides. And what excitement were in those eyes. But now, those eyes that once for the will of God are now have been tarnished by sin. And there's nothing that wrecks the beauty of a young lady as much as listening to the evil one and succumbing to his wiles and temptations. How pitiful. Recently I saw a young man, or a man, walking down Holman Avenue down here in front of this Calumet Bank. This man was once on the deacon board here at First Baptist Church. He once wore a crown that only godly men can wear. And fellas, I can't understand it. I can't understand what it is that you think is godly about copying the heathen world with your hairstyles and letting your hair get shaggy and long so you look like Elvis Presley did. I can't understand that. I can understand what's manly looking about the Rolling Stones. I can't understand that. I can understand why you want to copy the heathen world. Well, you say, I just don't agree with you. No, it's not you don't agree. It's that you haven't got enough guts to stand up and face this old heathen world and wear your crown. You don't want to be different. You don't want to wear the crown of dignity and royalty. This man once sat on our deacon board. His throne had been a driver's seat of an old bus. His scepter was a gear shift stick. His robe was compassion for his kids that he used to round up and bring to church. His subjects were little unloved bus kids. His crown was firmly set on his brow. And there that man who once sat with us in the deacon meetings of this church helped us plan this building right here. We sat here one night and realized we had to raise $500,000 more than we thought. And we asked God to help us do it. That man was here that night when we had the meeting. The man that was with us, we went out to the wilderness, which is now Hammond Baptist Schools. You couldn't see 25 feet in front of you for a wilderness and thicket and trees. And he was there that night. We drove out on a bus and asked God for that land and voted to build the Hammond Baptist Schools. He was there the night we drove out on a bus to Hiles Anderson College and looked at that campus out there and asked God for it and finally voted. He had been through victory after victory and battle after battle. And now he's walking down Holman Avenue with a cigarette for a scepter. long, shaggy-looking hippie hair, walking uncrowned with memories of his former kingdom, still seeking that non-existent pot of gold at the end of Satan's rainbow. Let me ask you a question this morning. Has your crown fallen? Huh? Huh? Did you once wear proudly a crown of purity? Has it fallen? I have some good news. You can get it back. Oh, a few diamonds may be lost. It may be bent just a little. And some of its luster may be dimmed by sin. But you can still wear a crown again. Come now, and I don't know any greater scripture than this. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. God says, come here, let's talk it over. God says, let's talk about it. Let's reason. Let me have your mind. He said, think about the logic. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, but you say, preacher, what I've done. Preacher, I've given myself to every kind of indecency in the world. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But you say, preacher, these hands have been wicked. These eyes have been filthy. This mind has been impure. This body has been sold for less than 30 pieces of silver given to Judas Iscariot. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Listen to me. There's not a young lady in this house this morning who's had the crown of purity jostled off of your head who wouldn't like to have it placed back on again. There's not a young man in this building this morning who's had the crown of decency tottered from his head who wouldn't again like to feel what you once felt. There's not a young man in this room this morning who once had hopes of being a man of God who walked down the halls of Hiles Anderson College. There's not a young man this morning in this room but he wanted enough to have back that joyous, happy, delightful feeling you once had when you were planning to become a prophet of God. There's not a DX deacon in this room this morning, in this world, who wouldn't love to one day have the joy of sitting at the deacon's meeting and enjoying the fellowship that we have at deacon's meeting and being back where you once were. I've got news for you. You can get back where you once were. The Bible didn't say, though your sins be as scarlet, that they shall be forgiven. No. It says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. God will forgive you this morning and make it as if you'd never sinned at all. And that position you once knew, you can have again. And that crown you once wore, you can wear again. And that throne on which you once sat, you can sit there again. And that robe that once graced your body can be placed on again. You say, preacher, okay, I'll put it back on. No, no, you didn't put it on in the first place. You can't put it back on. That's why it keeps falling off. There's some people this morning who've lost your crown. You put it back on, it falls again. 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 No, sir. You can't put it back on. But I'll tell you what you can do. I've been singing that song. Kneel at the cross. Leave every care. Kneel at the cross. Jesus will meet you there. That's the way a king is crowned. On the coronation day, a king doesn't get up and go to the drawer and open the drawer and take out his crown and put it on. Oh, no. Oh, no. The king simply presents himself, and maybe on his knees like this, he presents himself, and another takes the crown and places the crown of dignity and authority on his head. And this morning, if the crown has been jostled, from your head, the crown that you once wore, the joy you once knew, if you'll just kneel at an old-fashioned altar and mean with all your soul, oh God, I want my crown back, God will bring it back. It may be bent just a little. There may be a few jewels or a few diamonds that have been lost in the muck and the mire and the cesspool where the crown has been. And it just may be the complete luster will never come back again. But I'll tell you what. God's second-hand crowns did sure beat the devil's brand new ones. I'll tell you that for sure. Yeah, you can have it back again. What song do I quote the most? What is it? Here it is. Dear Lord, take up the tangled strands. that we have wrought in vain, that by the skill of thy dear hands some beauty may remain. Jeremiah looked at a place where once had stood the beautiful temple built by Solomon himself, and materials of which were gathered by David, the man after God's own heart and the best king that ever sat on a throne. Jeremiah looked at where once had been the Holy of Holies, and now it's a rubble of stone. Jeremiah looked at where once the brazen altar had been, and once the laver was. He looked where at once the beautiful golden candlestick had stuck its seven prongs skyward with light for the holy place. He looked at where the table of showbread had sat with the royal bread sitting gracefully upon it in 12 pieces. He looked at the houses where once the people lived. He looked at the palace where once the king was. And Jeremiah saw it like a Nagasaki or a Hiroshima. Level! Jeremiah saw women so hungry and so filthy, so sinful. They took their own little children and cooked their own little children and roasted the bodies of their own little boys and girls and fed them to their families. And Jeremiah said, "Thine eyes are like rivers of waters." He said, "Is it nothing to you?" And then he said, "How sad. The crown is fallen from our heads." 70 years passed. Those people had been in captivity away from home for 70 years. And now they come back. They rebuild the temple. Not as nice as it was before, but a nice temple. They rebuild their houses. Not as elaborate as they were before, but they built them. They rebuilt the palace. Not as lovely as it was before, but they built it. And God is saying to everybody in this room this morning, and I'm talking to a lot of people, you know who you are. You know who you are, young man. The crown has fallen from your head. The crown has fallen from your head. The crown has fallen from your head. You know who you are? You know who you are, young lady, if the crown has fallen from your head. The crown has fallen from your head. The crown has fallen from your head. You know who you are. You know who you are, sir. You know who you are, lady, if the crown has fallen from your head. I heard about a little boy who was a prince. He went out to play football one day, left the palace. Some kids were playing football or soccer or rugby or something. The little old guy had his little knickers on, and the little sissy guy, you know, been reared in the king's palace, and he got the ball, and they tackled him, and he got all dirty and filthy, and he said, "You can't do that to me. I'm the king's boy." They said, "Watch this." They did it again. He said, "You can't do that to me. I'm the king's boy." They got his head and rubbed it in the mud. "You can't do that to me. I'm the king's boy." "I'm the king's boy, too. I'm the king's boy. These hands were not made for evil. They were made to honor my king. I'm a prince." The Bible says a priest of God, a royal generation, a chosen priesthood, a peculiar people. I'm going to close. Look at me, everybody. Is the crown on your head this morning? Hey. Huh? Is the crown on your head? Was there once a crown that graced your brow that's fallen from your head? Why don't you this morning come to an old-fashioned altar? Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. Kneel at the cross. Leave every care, and Christ will take the crown that's fallen in the muck and mire of sin, and blessed be God, He can place it on your head again. All over this room this morning, there are people that I know personally who once wore a crown of royalty, and the tempter came and sin came and the crown was jostled from their heads, and yet they came to the mourner's bench and knelt before God, and God once again placed gently and firmly the crown back on their brows, and they wear it once again. They have memories they'd like to forget. They have bridges they'd like to burn. They have nights they'd like to wash away. But the crown is there. Not like it once was, but it feels mighty good. Not as pretty as it used to be, but it sure is pretty. The crown is fallen from our heads. The crown has fallen from our heads. The crown has fallen from our heads. The crown has fallen from our heads. Heavenly Father,